Hello, everyone, and welcome back to another episode of Cinema D'Amore. I'm one of your hosts, James Reinhardt.
I'm host number two, Justin Morgan.
And I'm host number three, Chuck Phillips.
And Kaiju Month continues with a special bonus episode about a little film about two very big guys, Godzilla versus Kong.
It's a real bromance.
It is. I realized that leading up to this movie, I kept calling it Kong versus Godzilla.
Oh, we realized too.
Yeah, you guys pointed it out.
You put some respect on Godzilla's name. He comes first.
It is kind of basically a Kong movie, but with Godzilla in it, though.
It is.
Hey, I'm quite all right with them choosing Kong as the protagonist instead of following them both around.
Well, an ape's more human-like. He's more easy to identify with.
Yeah, he at least shows expression better.
Yeah, he does sign language. He can, you know, kind of communicate.
Yeah, Kong very much is the protagonist of this movie for all intents and purposes. I mean, there are human characters, but I would say, like,
they suck.
Yeah, they do. dare I say, probably the worst human protagonists yet in the MonsterVerse?
I don't know how that's possible. First movie followed by second movie.
I mean, Skull Island, I think, probably has the best human characters. But I mean, King of the Monsters is probably still my favorite of these movies. But I think, like, the humans are serviceable in that. Like, you like them enough. But in this, I was not really invested in any of them.
Yeah, the only character I hated in pretty much all the movies was Aaron Johnson's character in the first movie. And then all the other movies, they're not really that important to anything. They're okay.
Yeah. Aaron Johnson's character was pretty terrible in the first one. I mean, I liked the little girl in this, Kong's friend. I felt like that relationship should have probably been the centerpiece of this film, is Kong and his relationship with this little girl that he's been protecting.
I mean, I know that they wanted to do this huge build-up to the fight between them, and they discussed that it was this four-movie plan all along, like that's the only arc that they had in mind. But I think it would have been kind of cool to play it off as being a Skull Island sequel and follow him and the little girl around and then bring Godzilla into it. And then, like, that was the surprising part of this movie, was the fact that they were going to finally face off, as opposed to spoilers. We're going to have lots of spoilers in this episode, clearly. So if you care, then go watch the movie first and come back. I was most taken for a loop with the entire Hollow Earth plot. It was really out there, and I wasn't expecting it in this movie at all.
Yeah, I was too. And I guess I should preface with my initial thoughts on this movie is that this movie is dumb as hell. It feels like the plot to a Saturday morning cartoon, but I loved it. Like, everyone today was like, what'd you think of it? I'm like, it's such a stupid movie, but I had a ton of fun watching it. But and the Hollow Earth plot definitely threw me for a loop as well.
Yeah, it's weird. I obviously expected them to jump time. You have Monarch has Kong in this containment area, which, in the previous movie, you knew that they knew where he was at. I just kind of felt they were keeping an eye on him. And then they kind of gloss over the fact that all the indigenous people are dead from a storm or something. The world seems to be doing pretty okay from post-King of the Monsters.
Yeah, there's a lot that's glossed over, because they gloss over that some sort of storm wiped out everyone on Skull Island. And I thought a lot of the plot of this movie was going to be centered around Kong species and Godzilla species being natural enemies. And that's like a throwaway line, and they never get back into it. But watching this movie, I felt like a lot of it was left on a cutting room floor. And I've been seeing a lot on Twitter basically confirming that, like, a lot of this movie was cut down. There's one shot where Lance Reddick is in it, and he's just in the shot. And I'm like, wait, I'm like, is that Lance Reddick? What's he doing in this movie? And he doesn't say anything. He's just in the shot.
He has a line.
He has one line. Okay.
He is in the opening credits. And when he shows up towards, like, the last 15 minutes of the movie, I forgot he was in it.
That's like
he was just there.
Yeah, that made me think of another movie that got cut a lot. Matthew Fox pops up in like World War Z. Almost forget that he's in. He's like a random soldier, and you're like, is Matthew Fox just playing like an unnamed soldier in this like blockbuster movie? And then he doesn't show up again. And I think that was like a same scenario of like that whole set was supposed to be like a much bigger chunk, and then they were like, you know what, drop it, it's garbage, and it's just a remnant left over.
Lance Reddick plays the director of Monarch, and he originally had a bigger role, but it was cut down. And then there were lots of other characters who were cut out of this movie completely. And then the one character in it, his name is Sarazawa. And I'm like, so is he related to Ken Watanabe's Dr. Sarazawa? But there's never any mention of him and his relation to Ken Watanabe's Dr. Sarazawa. But I was just reading today that there was more to that character that got cut out of this movie.
I feel like there was supposed to be a lot more, like you're saying, with Lance Reddick and Kyle Chandler as well. Like, considering he was one of the main characters of King of Monsters, and his whole plot in this film is basically just worriedly texting his daughter. He doesn't do anything else in this film. Like, I really can't see him showing up for this film to do nothing.
Or what was it, Charles Dance? Like, was built up at the end of King of Monsters, and he's not even in this one.
Yeah. Yeah, it does feel like there was a lot that was trimmed to focus on Hollow Earth, I guess. We had to have Hollow Earth.
Well, all the movies keep doing the same thing. They really jump all over the goddamn place, and they gloss over a lot of shit. Especially when I rewatched King of the Monsters. They're going from place to place to place. I'm like, don't they ever have to fucking fuel this thing? And then they're like in a submarine at one point, and the transition was terrible from their helicopter to their submarine.
But like this, like I feel like going into the Hollow Earth and exploring the Hollow Earth could be the plot of a movie in and of itself. And that's like the middle act of this film. The plot involving the Hollow Earth is as flimsy as you can get. But that's essentially what brings Godzilla and Kong into conflict. But yeah.
Hey, logically, it makes zero sense.
Yeah. Yeah.
You see a model that Alexander Skarsgård has made where it's like this miniature small Earth inside of the Earth. They go through to Antarctica and they have to pass through this like layer that they have to be in a special like spaceship type thing to be able to transport themselves there. But then when Kong's down there, essentially Godzilla blasts an atomic ray down there and they just easily go back. They easily go up to Hong Kong. So the center of the Earth is just like a mile underneath Hong Kong.
Yeah. And then, you know, jumping ahead, the plot, you know, of why Godzilla is so, you know, agitated is because this, you know, cybernetics firm is creating Mecha Godzilla. It's, yeah, like I said, it felt like, you know, I don't know if you guys ever watched the old Hanna-Barbera Godzilla cartoon. They used to show reruns of Cartoon Network, but it felt like sort of like I was watching that where, like, all the other MonsterVerse movies were kind of trying to play it kind of straight and kind of be semi-realistic. And then this movie just kind of was like, oh, fuck it. You know, this is a movie about a giant ape fighting a giant lizard. Let's just throw out any pretense of being, you know, semi-realistic and just make it a live-action Saturday morning cartoon, which I respect. I mean, like, you know, my friends and I, we all watched this, we all via Zoom together. And we were like cheering and laughing, like we had a blast watching this movie.
So you're confirming you're not friends with me and Chuck?
No, I mean I am friends with you, but I was watching it with Steve and Kevin. We all got together via Google Chat and watched it together, and you know, yeah, we all had a good time. Like we were all at the end, we're like, that was a really stupid movie, and we loved it.
Yeah, I had a lot of fun with it. I thought that the fights were well thought out. I mean, they're goofy, but I thought it was kind of fun to watch that initial fight that they had in the ocean where you assume Godzilla's going to have the upper hand or the upper claw, especially when he's, like, drowning Kong in the one moment. But I do like how, you know, Kong is a thinker. He moves a lot easier, so he's able thumbs. To leap from boat to boat. Yeah, he's got the thumbs, man.
The thumbs, man. That's the game changer, the thumbs.
But yeah, I thought that was sweet. The center of the Earth stuff was just kind of, I don't know. It's so goofy. I think they were just having fun with the plot or not really worrying too much about how they were writing it. like the one guy's daughter is the villain. Like, why would you send your daughter on this like very dangerous trip to the center of the earth? Like, send minions or something.
I was about to say, maybe he wanted her to die so that he doesn't have to give her his inheritance.
Yeah, that's
just playing all along. Get rid of her. Kill two birds with one stone.
He knew Mechagodzilla was going to kill him.
Demian Bashir playing the villain. He might have been one of my favorite actors in this movie because you could tell he knew what kind of a movie he was in. And he was just hamming it up. But his daughter, played by Isa Gonzalez, I think.
Yeah.
Her performance was like when they're in the center of the earth, you know, they've essentially discovered a whole other planet inside of our planet, filled with new ecosystems and new species. And the fact that she looks so bored to tears the entire time, I'm like, you have just witnessed the scientific breakthrough of the century in this movie. And you look so goddamn uninterested.
I'm fine with it, though, because when you get the reveal that she's just there for, I don't know what to call it, energy, hollow earth energy or whatever.
Yeah.
She's not there for the science. She already kind of knows this exists. And yeah, she is kind of bored with it. I don't know if it's a hint that she's a bad person or they just didn't care. They're like, she's beautiful. We're just going to keep showing shots of her. And leave it at that. Yeah, I also liked, too, when they moved from the ship to when they were like, oh, wonder if he's afraid of heights, and they fly him to Antarctica. They all have, like, these really crazy, like, form-fitting, they remind me of the X-Men suits. It's like, where the hell do these people get these, like exactly designed for their body type suits? Everybody had one.
It reminded me of when I was a kid, there was a Godzilla toy line by Trendmasters, and there was a lot, part of that toy line was like G-Force, like humans that were fighting Godzilla, and they all had like Power Ranger type form-fitting costumes. And this reminded me of that, like with they're all in these like you said, like these form-fitting gold outfits that look like Power Rangers or something like that. That's what it really reminded me of.
Well, it's funny too, because when they went to the core, there were three ships that went down there, and I'm like, who the fuck's on the third ship? And then it was like destroyed within 2 seconds of being there. So I was like, oh, they sent three of them down just to destroy one.
Yeah, I think the thing I enjoyed the most about this movie, kind of how you're bringing up, like the fights looked cool, and I think I like this more in terms of how they shot the fights than the other two films, because I think at least Adam Wingard kind of embraced the fact that everything was CGI. You could put the camera wherever you want. So he kind of did a lot of weird stuff, like doing like POV shots from Kong getting chased by Godzilla.
Feels like half of it is.
Yeah, like there was a lot of that stuff. There was a lot of like just having the camera just focus on them as they're like flipping over. So the camera's spinning over, whereas the like King of Monsters and Kong Skull Island and the first Godzilla, the American version they did in 2014, all tried to make it super realistic. They were all trying to be like taking, you know, they make them look bigger by shooting it from the ground and, you know, oh, look at these titans going back and forth. And I enjoyed the fact that he fully embraced the fact that it's all CGI. We can do whatever we want. Like, we don't have to shoot it like we're shooting a documentary. It doesn't have to look like Cloverfield. If I want to put the camera, you know, from the point of view of Kong's eyes or something like that and have Godzilla charge straight at the camera, I can do that. And I enjoyed that he was a little more free and just more creative in general with how they decided to shoot those fight scenes. They didn't feel that, at least freshened it up. It didn't feel like the past three films, the way they filmed the fight scenes. It felt a lot more like the classic kaiju films, which were often shot from like a super wide angle of the two monsters in a miniature city, slamming each other into the buildings and breaking things. They didn't shoot them that way.
You don't want to miss them destroying a building that you spent exactly a month building.
Yeah, you gotta make every one of those shots count.
Yeah, that's money on the camera. I do think, though, rewatching all of them, at least in Kong Skull Island, they play with what's in and not in the frame a lot, like a ton. Like that shot of that guy that's just standing there and then Kong just smashes him with his hand. They play around with that. And then at least in King of Monsters, Michael Daugherty's, he does a lot of like almost painting-esque shots. Like, he really liked playing with the light and dark places. So all these shots were, I feel like they were stills that people, or well, I don't, stills is the right word, but drawings at least, art direction, where they had that shot and they're like, this is what the movie's going to end on. We have to have King Ghidorah with all the lightning coming out just like this. And they all made it perfectly into the movie. So I do kind of appreciate too that this aesthetic kind of changes from director to director. And I definitely thought it helped the fights feel a little less stale when it would change to a first-person perspective for Kong. I don't think it ever did it for Godzilla.
No, I think it was only for Kong.
Yeah, I mean, I guess it goes back to what I said about Kong feeling like the protagonist, where a lot of this is from Kong's point of view. In Godzilla, we never really get his point of view. Like, Godzilla is clearly the villain for most of this movie until, you know, the very end.
The things I don't like about the series are how they'll sum up all this stuff and it sounds like it's speculation. Like they say, the minute he's out of here, there's two alphas out there and there can only be one. I'm thinking, how the fuck do they know he's at? Like, where's the science or the history or whatever they discovered that shows that they would know that they're alphas that need the fight? And that Kong isn't just like one of the other ones that have already bowed down to him.
You know, we brought this up on our Frankenstein episode, and I've been rewatching a lot of these kaiju movies where there's always like one scientific character that will posit like a theory or speculation about the monsters, and every other character just accepts that like as it is. They're like, oh, okay, that sounds right. And these movies do that all the time.
Please, somebody make a movie where the scientists' expectation is wrong. I think that's why I like that one moment in Shin Godzilla where the guy's giving the press conference and saying, oh, it definitely can't come on land, and the guy comes up and whispers in his ear. He's like, are you kidding me?
Yeah. Well, Shin Godzilla, I still maintain, is the best Godzilla since the original.
Easily. Although I did revisit Godzilla 1984, and I thought it was pretty good, minus some of the effects that were like dated from its time. The very first Godzilla movie that I've ever watched was Godzilla 1985, which was the dubbed American version. And it was a little goofy and weird from what I remember. But I had recently just picked up the first time released in America Japanese version, and it was so much better from what I remember. It looks pretty good. And yeah, the plot just ended up being way more interesting.
Yeah, I mean, I'm currently going through the Showa era Godzilla films, and I just literally before I watched Godzilla vs. Kong, I finished All Monsters Attack, which is probably the worst Godzilla movie. And I went on Twitter because there's a bit of a debate raging over the importance of human characters in these kaiju movies, and I brought up that All Monsters Attack is basically all about the human characters and all the monster action only takes place in the imagination of a child. So it was pretty terrible.
I think of these movies, the human characters really have not been that great. So my expectations were, I guess I was always hoping that they would be better written. Just focus on these, like especially the first movie. You have chosen to follow the people and kind of keep Godzilla out of the spotlight until the end of the movie. You have to have interesting characters. And maybe on paper, they thought that they had really good care. They thought that following the sun was the right idea. But I almost feel like I'd want to rewrite once I was working with Bryan Cranston. And I would say, please, let's just keep this guy alive. He's pretty good. And I think he could carry the rest of the movie for us.
Yeah, I agree with you. And I feel like that was like everyone's notes on the first Godzilla film, is that it would have been much better if it was following Bryan Cranston's character the entire time and not his son. I was going to say, but yeah, my issue with the first Godzilla film is, you know, it was criticized for not having that much Godzilla. And the director at the time, you know, he compared it to like Jaws or Alien, but Jaws and Alien has pretty likable human characters that you don't mind following along. Whereas in the first Godzilla film, you don't really care about these people.
You make the room and you're like, it's pretty much like The Godfather, if you think about it.
I think the comparison, though, for that first film to Jaws and Alien kind of falls apart, since like Jaws and Alien were the first films in those series. That was the first time you ever saw them. This is one of those things where we're hiding Godzilla, and it's like, yeah, but I know what Godzilla is. Like, I've seen 30 films with him in it. You're hiding him, but I know what he looks like.
You didn't know what the new design of Godzilla was.
No, they showed it pretty prevalent.
Yeah, he was in the trailer.
It wasn't like the 98 one where they tried to hide the design until the film was released.
I do like how Godzilla vs. Kong has a really nice throwback to the first Godzilla 2014, where Godzilla pulls open that Muto's mouth and breathes atomic fire down its throat, which is honestly the coolest thing in the entire movie.
Did you also like him did you also like him stabbing the axe into his mouth, kind of like the tree?
Yeah, that was definitely the tree stand-in.
Yeah.
But I liked how Mechagodzilla ripped open Godzilla's mouth and he was like warming up to shoot a laser down it before Kong like saved his ass. But I thought that was a really nice throwback.
Yeah, I really liked that. I did like Kong and Godzilla having to work together against Mechagodzilla after Mechagodzilla was beaten real Godzilla's ass. Lots of really cool like I said, like I felt like a kid again. I'm geeking watching as like Godzilla uses his atomic breath to charge up Kong's axe, and then Kong just beats the fuck out of Mechagodzilla. I also like that how when Mechagodzilla first goes online, there's no hesitancy. It immediately chooses violence. Just but we already know that it's hooked up to King Ghidorah's skull. Ghidorah is always up to no good. So
I do love the shot where it comes to life essentially, mm-hmm. or awake, and it just peers over at Damien. That's his name. And everyone starts like backing up. And then there's also like this random guy working on his computer that's also like, oh shit, and starts backing up with them. That's a really good moment of killing off this character that's just been kind of like a generic, I created a monster, essentially. I think as far as my expectations went in this movie, I didn't expect there to be either Godzilla or Kong dying. And I did expect it to be Mechagodzilla, or I definitely expected something else, but I was feeling Mechagodzilla pretty early on, because right after we watched King of the Monsters, that's what everybody was saying. They were like, oh, it's gonna be Mechagodzilla next. And I was like, yeah, I feel like that's like when you went through King Ghidorah and Rodan and Mothra, like he seems naturally to be the one that they would choose next. I still had fun. No, like you didn't know what he was gonna look like, so that was a little bit of fun. I liked his entrance. I really liked that Brian Tyree Henry from Atlanta. He was a pretty weird character. Like, I don't know why these movies pack so many weird people into the movie, but like I genuinely laughed when he like screamed really loud when they walked into that room where he would be, where Mechagodzilla was going to be brought into.
Part of me wonders, because I heard that they had assembled a writer's room for this movie, and I feel like there were like 7 different scripts pitched at one point, and they just mashed them all together for this movie, because I feel like this paranoid podcaster and these two kids could be their own movie. Then the journey to the Hollow Earth could be its own movie. The creation of Mechagodzilla could be its own movie. Kong vs. Godzilla. I just feel like they just, you know, threw all these ideas into a pot.
Everything converged in Hong Kong for almost absolutely no reason. Like Kyle Chandler knew that Godzilla was headed there, so he went there. When his daughter, who met up with this podcaster, and the kid from the what is it?
Hunt for the Wilder People.
Yeah, they all ended up at the exact same. Everyone ended up at the exact same place. At least in King of Monsters, it kind of made sense when that, what's her name? Millie Bobby Brown.
Yeah.
Was at least playing the signal from that field.
Fenway Park.
Yeah, which almost thought still didn't really make that much sense, because I doubt that their speakers are that good that it would be heard around the world. Like I didn't think that would be a good amplifier, but I let it go for the plot of the movie. That was fun. But I almost thought it was weird too that we never saw any other monsters, because they didn't die.
Yeah, it's not referenced at all where they all went after King of the Monsters.
It would have made more sense if they had all made it to Hollow Earth or something. Like, they were disappearing and they didn't know where they were going. I was a little upset that Kong's family wasn't down there. I really wanted there to be I don't know, the Harry and the
I would have loved it.
It could have been afterwards too. Like, it didn't have to, like, he could have went there thinking there was nothing there.
I did like that Kong got a happy ending, because we're also used to Kong getting the tragic ending where he's taken from his home and murdered. But I did like it that Kong finds a new home in the Hollow Earth, and that's where he's gonna, you know, he's seemingly made peace with his age old enemy Godzilla, and now he's just gonna hang out in Hollow Earth for, you know, until I'm sure the next movie.
And they didn't lie when they said one will fall. One literally fell.
I mean, Godzilla and... did win both rounds pretty easily.
Well, the first one was like on his turf, you know, and the second one I thought was fine. Like, at first I thought he was going to get up and like kick his ass or something, but the most that we got was Kong roaring in his face, saying like, bitch, you don't own me, even though he was like down for the count. Good thing that he learned sign language with the, and that little girl could understand him.
Yeah, I did like that added a lot of dimension to Kong's character, that, you know, like a lot of apes, you know, he's learned to communicate via sign language.
I loved Hong Kong. I thought that the neon lights and stuff looked really cool and kind of set apart that fight from almost every other fight that we've seen.
Yeah.
Because I'm thinking they're all going to kind of look the same if they're in these cities. And unless Tokyo got destroyed in King of Monsters and I don't know about it, I kind of like that of all four movies, I don't think Tokyo was really destroyed. You had Mutos that broke out of that one thing, but they're not walking. I don't even think it wasn't even Tokyo. It was like south of Japan or something. So
yeah.
It was nice that Tokyo made it out just fine in this one.
Yeah, Adam Wingard definitely brought his lighting from The Guest to this movie, especially that end fight scene. Because, yeah, I loved the neon lights in the fight in Tokyo. And the bad guys, the evil cybernetic firms, their lair looks just like the evil corporation's lair from Blade Runner.
I also thought it was weird, too. Like, okay, this is what I hate about myself. I can believe all the monsters and stuff, but like when those characters were in that pod with the eggs with the skull crawlers in it, and it said that their thing hit like 700 miles per hour, they would, I mean, I'm not saying they would be dead, but they would all definitely be sticking to the back of that thing. They just showed them like chilling when that thing stopped. Like, they were just like laying on the ground chilling. I'm like, they would have been all like, I can't move.
Well, the only thing I took from that is I think I just assumed that they must have, I mean, it's like a spaceship. They can make their own gravity in there. Cause you would think also like the G forces would destroy the eggs that are just sitting in there if it was uncontrolled.
I also do like when Alexander Skarsgård kept describing reverted gravity. Made no sense to me at all, but like when it happened, I was like, whatever, he's been talking about it for a while, so yeah, I guess this is it.
Because when they mentioned his brother's dead, I'm like, oh, okay, his brother's killed by a kaiju, and then he mentions reverse, I'm just like, what? But then the scene when they hit the gravitational anomaly, and this movie becomes 2001 A Space Odyssey for like 2 minutes, I was just like, okay, you know, flex, okay, you know.
I really liked too when it became Super Mario Galaxy and he and Kong saw like the floating crystals or whatever and then the land above him, and I was like, oh, he's gonna jump to a different gravitational pull like in Super Mario Galaxy. I mean, I think they did a pretty good job of showing us things through Kong without having to overexplain it too much. Like when he finally got to his, I don't know, well, he kept calling it his home, but like his castle. He knew how to open the door from like the handprint. Obviously, he knew he had that, I guess, family axe. And I did like how he understood that the throne was like his.
Yeah, I like that. Him finding the axe, which is like the kaiju Excalibur, and then like sitting in the throne. I'm like, this is ridiculous. And I love every moment of it.
You know, in the writer's room, they said he's King Kong, right? Yeah, he needs a throne.
Oh, yeah.
I was, although it was, kind of nice that he found that battle axe, I thought, or that it was there for him, like a family heirloom. Because in the trailer, you saw it like lighting up and everyone said, oh, that's one of Godzilla's dorsal fins. So I kind of was expecting him to rip a dorsal fin off of Godzilla. So it was kind of nice that like that didn't happen.
Yeah, that's what I was expecting too, that he ripped off one of Godzilla's dorsal fins and made it into an axe.
He whistles and then all the other Kongs come out and they rip off all Godzilla's dorsal fins.
That would have been pretty brutal.
At least they level the playing field somewhat between the two of them, because after King of Monsters, where he went like subatomic or whatever from that nuclear bomb, you're watching that movie and you think, how the hell is Kong gonna fight that guy? But it's like it's all burnt off of him by the time that they fight.
Yeah, that's a good like plot point, or I guess like detail to add in. I enjoyed the way they aged Kong too, like to show that it had been. Yeah, I like that they updated him to show that it had been, I don't know what, 50 years since Skull Island. That was at the end of the Vietnam War, so that was like 68 or 69 or whatever it says in that movie. So it's been like 50 years. So, you know, he's a more mature ape.
Yeah, yeah. They didn't mention that he was adolescent in Skull Island.
It's also so simple, but when they went to Antarctica, I really liked when they said his family's down there, so he rushed down there and they started to follow him. Sidebar, I liked when they got in their spaceship, how there was a guy cleaning the thing, and I'm like, is it really necessary to be hosing that thing down? They're going to go to the center of the Earth. But anyways, I thought it was cool when they caught up the Kong and he was swinging like a monkey would from like tree to tree, like he was actually swinging. That was cool.
Yeah.
It was simple. He's been too big. We haven't had trees big enough for him to swing around on. So that's what we honestly need. I'm also fascinated with how many people sign up for these movies. It must be the namesake. Like they have to be there. They get all these famous people. I'm like, I guess they just don't. I guess the money doesn't run out with Warner Brothers and Legendary.
Yeah, I was thinking about that today too. Where like they get. You know, semi-decent actors to, you know, spout lines about the Hollow Earth and like King Kong protecting his territory and stuff like that. They've got it for like all four of these movies. So I'm like, they must be paying them well. And, you know, they seem to be getting actors who are content with putting their ego aside and letting the CGI monsters be the star and not them.
Did anyone come back to do the mocap? Did that, like, Toby Kebbell come back and do mocap again? I feel like they would mocap Kong again. I don't know if they mocapped Godzilla. I don't really think they have to. He doesn't really move like a person. Unless they need some reference.
I mean, they mocapped all of them in King of the Monsters, so I can't see why they didn't mocap them again in this.
I want to see that footage.
Oh, you haven't seen the behind-the-scenes footage?
I don't watch behind-the-scenes stuff.
I've seen just some stuff online of, like, the mocap and how, like, King Ghidorah's mocap, he's, like, three actors, like, strapped together.
I love it. Well, I still think of the Desolation of Smog, where Benedict Cumberbatch is, like, laying down, like, rawr, in his green suit being a dragon. I said, this is perfect. At least he's into it. You're a dragon. Okay, I'm a dragon. Let's do it. I always want them to get somebody extremely famous to be like somebody that you don't know, like King Kong. That was Ben Kingsley.
As King Kong.
Yeah, he played Kong in this movie. That was Daniel Day-Lewis. I was about to say,
you sound like you're pitching a sketch that I could see someone doing online.
That's Daniel Day-Lewis there in his final performance.
He returned to acting just for this one film, just to be Kong.
Yeah, I don't... it doesn't say who did the mocap.
Brad Pitt as Mechagodzilla. Or at the very least, I'd reach out to them and be like, we'll pay you if we can say you played these characters. Because what you had in Guardians of the Galaxy, Groot, and apparently that was Vin Diesel, but... I don't know. Doesn't sound like him. He doesn't say much.
But that was, I'm assuming it was mocap, but yeah, it doesn't say if Toby Kebbell came back to do the mocap for Kong.
Yeah, he had that Dawn of the Planet of the Apes thing where he's like, I'm going to stick somewhat to this mocap stuff. Nice. This is fun.
Hey, if it's work, then, whatever.
He got the training from the master. He learned from Andy Serkis. He was like, oh, you don't put those skills to, you don't let those waste.
Yeah.
Yeah, after he was Gollum, it all went to his head. Do you know who I am? Precious! Oh, we're so sorry. Come, we have a seat for you, sir.
That's how like Andy Serkis got the role of Claw in Avengers Age of Ultron and then subsequently Black Panther was he was like consulting with the mocap on Ultron and they just decided to give him a role.
For a second when you said Claw, I was thinking Inspector Gadget.
Ulysses Claw.
Yeah, he pops up more often now as a person.
they let him actually use his real face instead of burying him as a monster.
And now he's getting into directing. He's directing Venom 2.
That'll be interesting.
Yeah.
Will it?
It'll be interesting.
It'll be something.
I'll see it when it comes to DVD.
I don't know. Venom was a hot mess. It's forgettable. But this one's going to have Carnage.
Everyone's favorite villain.
I think it is everybody's favorite villain.
It somehow is. I don't know why.
I don't like him very much, but I do like Woody Harrelson. So I don't know. Maybe I'll forgive it.
One of my favorite reactions to Venom 2 was set photos went out of like Woody Harrelson in character and as Cletus Kasady, a.k.a. Carnage. And someone was like, Woody Harrelson in Venom 2 looks like if Florida was a person.
I haven't seen that picture, but I can imagine
and then,
it already.
Someone else, this was recently, this was like, last week or so, they're like, oh yeah, I just watched that one superhero movie with that post-credit scene with like that clown that looks like Ronald McDonald. And I'm like, what? I'm like, oh, that one, with Tom Hardy and he has that black ooze. I'm like, you mean Venom? They're like, yeah, that there's that clown at the end. It looks like Ronald McDonald. I'm like, oh, that was Woody Harrelson. He wasn't a clown. And they're like,
he's got that carrot top wig.
Yeah.
I mean, when isn't he a clown?
And this person was like, I can't remember who it was, but they're like, oh, I was really high when I was watching it. So I probably thought he was a clown. And I'm just like, I kind of just wish now that in Venom 2, Woody Harrelson was a killer clown.
Well, listen, we don't know if there's going to be any more MonsterVerse in the future. So all we have is Venom, Let There Be Carnage. That's it.
Yeah.
And Morbius, I guess. We got two movies. That's a different MonsterVerse we got to get into.
I mean, right now, box office-wise, they're saying this, at least in pandemic times, this is one of the strongest box office performers. And reviews for this movie have been pretty decent. It's gotten like the best reviews of the MonsterVerse since Skull Island, which got pretty good reviews.
Well, people are also starting to get vaccinated and actually get out there or just ignore everything.
They had to get into the theaters, vaccinated or not. You had to see this.
They already had people saying at the beginning of this mess when all the theaters started closing, they said, trust me, the first movie that you go back to see in a theater is going to be the best movie you've ever seen, regardless of how good it is.
Yeah, it's Steve, Kevin, and I watched this together, and we were saying that, we watched it remotely, but we were like, if we would have seen this in theaters, we would have, we enjoyed it, but we're like, we would have freaked the fuck out. Like, this would have been a great movie to see on the big screen. Back to what I was saying, like, this is performing pretty well. So I feel like we're probably gonna get more MonsterVerse. I feel like we're definitely gonna get another Kong movie.
Where do you go after Hollow Earth?
I feel like the next one's gonna be set in the Hollow Earth. I just feel like
Hollower Earth.
But I don't know about Godzilla because I know they share the rights of Toho, and Toho wants to make another Godzilla movie, but they had to wait until after this was made for rights purposes. So I feel like
their rights are this year, they could start making them again.
Yeah, that's the deal, is they have, if we're making one here, they can't make one and vice versa.
I don't know how it works altogether, because they did say that their plan was for this new shared monster universe was that they wanted to do a movie like every 2 years, once the once they had the rights again. So I don't feel like, I feel like if Legendary wants to make more, they have to do a whole new contract. And I don't think they're going to stop themselves. But it sounded like they were putting Shin Godzilla 2 on hold to make original monsters again and start to, like, I don't know, build something new.
Yeah, I heard they wanted to do like a cinematic universe in Toho, but those plans may have changed. But I know, I also know, as far as MonsterVerse goes, they're developing a TV show about Monarch, and then I heard they're developing a TV show about Skull Island too. So, you know, we might get stories with, you know, original monsters, you know, still set in this universe.
Yeah, those might be interesting. I watched two of those Godzilla anime movies that came out like a couple years ago. I didn't like them very much. I never got to the third one.
Yeah, I watched the first one, and I wasn't crazy about it. But the new Godzilla anime is coming to Netflix. I think looks pretty good.
I feel like I just saw an image of him. I don't know if I saw like in footage.
Yeah, it's like it's a traditional anime. It's not like the other ones, which were like CGI, and it's very. It looks very Showa era inspired. It's got lots of the classic monsters in it.
Nice.
But it's coming at some point this year. I'm not sure when it is coming.
I definitely have that feeling. Where does it go from here, though?
Yeah, I'm curious.
Space Godzilla or something. I don't know.
A Space Godzilla would be awesome. I feel like if they're going to introduce Rodan and Mothra, you know, why not give them their own movies?
I almost feel like they went too big with King of Monsters, and it's like, where do you go from there?
Yeah,
they used all the classic ones up before they...
Well, I mean, just that, like, every... Places all over the globe were having, like, their own monster fights. The only bad thing with, like, Rodan and Mothra, even, like, King Ghidorah, we watched them basically wake up, and their story was essentially followed. It would be kind of cool, though, if they made another monster movie and it was happening during King of Monsters or something. Like, King Ghidorah woke them up and they were just terrorizing. I don't know where you would want to go. Europe or something.
Kevin suggested that he would love to see a modern update of Destroy All Monsters, which, for those of you not familiar, Destroy All Monsters is basically like the Toho version of the Avengers in the 60s, when all the monsters from all the different movies got together. So maybe you could do something like that, some sort of update, which has all these different monsters, you know, together in one movie.
I feel like that's where you have to go. Either like a big monster build up, like a big mash like that, or you take it to space or some shit. Because the individual monster just seems like harder to do now. You've basically taken over the entire globe. I like the idea of monsters running rampant and every country kind of having their own titan. I don't know. There's something weird about it when there's all these titans. It's like, what's the next step? Like, Earth seems like the worst was King Ghidorah and they saved it. I mean, technically, even Mechagodzilla, which was supposed to be on par with Godzilla, was taken out in probably like 15 minutes after being released. Mm.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I feel like if this continues to perform well, then we'll hear news. I feel like the TV show about Monarch and Skull Island will definitely be happening now. But I'm sure time will tell.
Time will always tell. Yeah. I always thought, like, I had the idea, too, when I was rewatching Skull Island. I wonder if Peter Jackson knew that in, like, what was it, 12 years or something, that there would be another Kong movie. Like, it would be rebooted again.
Yeah, I don't know, because like at the time, it seemed like nobody was really knocking down the door to make a new Kong movie. Like Jackson seemed to, you know, be able to take his time and make the Kong movie he wanted, but times have changed now. We've had two Kong movies in the space of what, like 4 years?
Yeah.
I'd be curious to see what Jackson's thoughts are, because, you know, if you read an interview of him, King Kong was his favorite movie. It's what got him into filmmaking. And he'd been wanting to make that remake since the 90s.
He's all jacked because he got stuck with the Hobbit movies.
I mean, I do like Jackson's Kong movie. But yeah, I would be curious to see what Jackson's thoughts are. But it is just interesting how the character of Kong has changed between 2005 and now.
Yeah, I mean, I do like the time jump too, like Chuck talked about. It was interesting. Probably the most subtle thing that they did in all of the movies was also let Kong continue to grow. Because people were like, oh, they're not the same. He's not the same size as Godzilla. He's much smaller. And other people would say, well, that was in the 70s, so he's going to grow tall.
Yeah, you're right. That's probably as subtle as these movies have been.
I kind of feel bad for Kong, too. I liked him waking up in the beginning of this. It has to probably be the most casual opening to any of these monster movies. They have all opened with, like, destruction and awful things happening. And this one, like, started with him, like, waking up, I think, and, like, practically, I don't know, taking a shower.
Yeah. That's what I said. I'm like, does this movie just open of Kong waking up, scratching his ass, and then taking a shower?
Yeah.
And it does.
Yeah, I don't know how I felt about them, like, taking over Skull Island the way that they did. But, hey, if they're making an anime, maybe they get into that, how they managed to trap Kong.
Yeah. Yeah, once again, that's something that I feel like, you know, I would love to see an extended version. I mean, after the Snyder Cut, I feel like everyone wants extended versions of everything, but I would love to see the deleted scenes or an extended cut of this movie to see what all was cut out, because I feel like there's more backstory on that hit the cutting room floor.
I saw something today that Margot Robbie, I don't know, maybe it is April Fool's, so maybe it's a joke. I have no idea. She said that there was like 20 hours of footage from Once Upon a Time in Hollywood. And I was like, yeah, do it. Do the 20-hour cut of that. It doesn't seem real. Nobody would have probably made that many movies with that much footage, but
I don't know if that's real or not, but like I said, I thought I heard something about there was like a 6-hour cut.
Yeah, he said there was like an extended version that he could do like a mini series of. But yeah, I don't. 20 hours. Does Richard Linklater even have 20 hours from his 12 years of boyhood?
Mm-hmm. Probably.
He might. Who knows?
He filmed for a week. He filmed for a week at a time. So he basically did 12 weeks. He probably really doesn't have that much footage. He probably shot it on film and was very conservative too. It's like, I don't care, Ethan Hawke. You do whatever you want.
We can't bring up. Don't bring the Snyder Cut into this. Those. You know, I think all those people, the Snyder fanboys, had their fun for a couple weeks there, and they're already back to trying to ruin things for everyone else. That was what they were doing with this. They were, I think it was on IMDb. I don't think it was Rotten Tomatoes this time. I think it was IMDb that they were. A lot of the people were purposely trying to give Kong low scores, and every time they looked up what all the 1-star reviews were, they always said like, this is to boycott WB because they're not going to make more Snyder Justice League films. And I was like, well, there you go. And you see why everyone hated it the last time. Like, you couldn't have just accepted that you got what you wanted, and everybody, you know, for the most part, a lot of people liked it.
And that's then the you immediately that had to go
back
to do in. It.
Yeah. And then you immediately had to go back to like trying to like ruin things for everybody again.
I mean, who even knows how many people it is? People could have made a bot that is doing those reviews, and it looks like there's a lot more people than there are.
Yeah, the fact that anybody did it to begin with is stupid, so.
Yeah, I don't understand. I guess you're 12 years old or something. I have no idea. I have never read a review online that has changed my opinion. I have never looked at a movie and saw, like, oh, it's a 1-star. Guess I'm not watching that.
You've never read the super well-regarded film critic Dank Sniper 69420, and he never changed your opinions on any films?
Mm. Well, the Snyder bots review bombing makes absolute sense, because they're the ones that are convinced that bad reviews are what destroyed the Snyderverse and, you know, are obsessed with Rotten Tomato scores and stuff like that. So it makes sense that they think like, oh, okay, this is how we fuck with other movies.
Hey, with our Zack Snyder's Justice League episode that we just did, I went on the record. I saw a bad review. I still went to the theater and watched it. I mean, the reviews were right. It still made a lot of money.
Yeah, I mean, they're making me regret saying I like the Snyder Cut with the behavior they're engaging in.
I don't know. Maybe we'll get more Alita Battle Angel.
Can only hope so.
Do your magic. Buy some more planes or whatever. I'm referring to the plane that asked for the sequel. What was it, flying over like Comic-Con or something? Yeah. Hey, I mean, It's your money. I don't know how much that costs. People who use it to marry other people. They're probably like, honey, what's that plane say? Something about a battle angel? Oh, shit, that's not our plane. Let's give it a couple minutes. What's that plane say? Oh, you want to marry me? I was taking you on a little adventure, you know.
You're really painting a picture.
Thank you. You painted a good picture. All right, so what do we think? Final thoughts on Godzilla versus Kong?
I thought it was fun. It didn't make a lot of sense. I don't think that's why I watched the movie. It kind of like exceeded my expectations a little bit, because I've been getting a little bit too excited for some of these movies and then they haven't been turned out too good. I don't know. I'm a simpleton. Usually when my expectations are low, I come out liking it. And then when they're high, I come out hating it. Yeah, I don't know. Skull Island, still easily, I think, the best one out of all of them. And it's just, it's kind of in the same vein, though, where like it just, it's a lot of fun. The actors seem to be having a lot of fun and everybody's okay with the ridiculous plot. And yeah, this just carries on. I mean, the title is very straightforward about what you're going to get. And I mean, what did everybody want? They all want these massive kaiju battles anyway. So you're getting your money's worth. But yeah, the only regret I have is it would be kind of nice seeing this in theaters for sure. When I rewatched everything, I got new surround sound. So the first three movies were wonderful, but Godzilla versus Kong was only like this mono. And I was like, ah, man.
Yeah, I forgot to bring that up during the episode, but I wondered why I had to crank the sound up on my speakers, like double what I normally do just to be able to hear it.
Yeah, it was weird. It wasn't like, oh,
it wasn't like true surround sound.
Right, like Godzilla 2014 was like so bland, but Godzilla would roar and I'd be like, sick. That's so cool. Like that was actually pretty much probably the best part of the entire movie. I don't know. Kong Skull Island, I didn't really notice it as much, but they were a little crazy with their war setting, so it just sounded like chaos the entire time.
It was just the soundtrack of Creedence Clearwater Revival the whole time.
Yeah, that was it. I think that's still the funniest too. Like, I really like that line that John C. Reilly has where he's like, oh, the ants.
Keep your eyes open. Up in the trees too.
Why?
Ants. Big ones.
There's one.
Sounds like a bird, but it's a fucking ant.
They're ants.
Oh, yeah.
The sound design is also really good in King of Monsters. Like, it does a really good job with, like, the silence, like, taking it down, like, completely silent, and then having, like, these fun electronic sounds. And at least with this movie, with Godzilla versus Kong, it had some like weird 80s synth music that happened every so often mm-hmm. that I really dug. It was like, hey, it's a little ridiculous. What if we kind of have like a Tron vibe to this movie? Yeah, sure. Not as good as the soundtrack for the record. But yeah, the soundtrack is also kind of weird in this. Like the music choices that they had for basically like Kong's chilling again. We need another chill soundtrack to play.
Yeah.
But yeah, my final thoughts would be obviously see it. And I don't know. If you've kind of liked any of the other ones, you'll probably like this one. If you hated all of them, you will probably hate this movie because there's no joy in your heart.
Yeah, I would say I think I've mentioned everything I liked and didn't like about this movie, but I would say it's definitely been my favorite Godzilla film of the new batch. And I would say it's tied with Kong Skull Island. I liked both of them fairly equally. I thought the action in both of them was good. The human characters, either way, I can take or leave any of the human characters. I at least feel
But wait a second. I know this is your final thoughts. Yeah. Did this movie have Samuel L. Jackson?
No.
Then how can it be a better movie? Got you there, didn't I?
Yeah, really burned me. Crushed me with that logic. I don't know, the human characters I feel like they weren't distractingly bad like they were in the first Godzilla film, and I don't know, I can always do with less Kyle Chandler in any of my films, and him being pushed to the back doesn't hurt me in any way in this one, so I was okay with everything they did here.
Did you enjoy him in Super 8?
I haven't enjoyed Kyle Chandler in anything. Wow. He's not a good actor. I don't like him.
I like Kyle Chandler.
I liked him in Super 8. I think I watched the pilot for Friday Night Lights.
He was also at Peter Jackson's Kong.
Oh, yeah, dude. Yeah, he was. He's, I forgot he's the about connection that. There. He's going to be that next guy where they're like, who was in King Kong, Godzilla, King Kong versus Godzilla, Predators, Alien. He's going to be that guy.
Yeah. I feel like his role in the first King Kong, and I've said this before, I don't think it was on a Kong episode. I think it was just something else that had Kyle Chandler, but I felt like that was the film where he fit in the most because his acting style reminds me of an over-the-top 1930s actor that's like really trying to project too much. And is using that as a way to make up for his shortcomings, for any type of subtlety in his performances.
I'll agree with you. He is not very great in these Kong movies. Current MonsterVerse. I did forget he was in Kong, but I'm gonna rewatch the '70s one and the 2005 one tomorrow, I think, or the next day. Yeah, I forgot. But yeah, Super 8. I liked him in that. I don't know. What the hell else is he in?
Exactly.
Hate?
Don't like him. He's one of those actors just don't like.
Sorry.
Yeah. It's my loss. I wish more Lance Reddick, though. Could have done with a lot more Lance Reddick.
I would have liked more of that. I love him. What about Middle Ditch now? Did he make King of Monsters weird?
I think when I was doing my rewatch, that was like the day after it was in the news of all the accusations that he got, and I was like, oh, okay, this is interesting. He makes a lot of weird monster genital jokes in that film too.
Yeah, a lot of testicle.
Yeah, humor. Yeah, a lot of weird stuff there for the type of accusations that were made towards him. That's like, oh, that's interesting now.
James, do you have your own final thoughts? We can't talk about testicles.
Yeah, we can't about testicles then. Yeah, I mean, this, like I said, this felt like a live action Saturday morning cartoon. Definitely more of a Kong movie that just happened to have Godzilla in it.
But that would be a terrible title.
Yeah, it can't be. Well, it reminded me of like when they first announced Batman vs. Superman, they said it would be a Man of Steel sequel that just had Batman in it. But the final result arguably felt more like a Batman movie with Superman. But this felt like the promise of Batman vs. Superman, where it was a King Kong sequel with Godzilla as the bad guy. But, you know, yeah, like, felt like Saturday morning cartoon. The plot was nonsensical. The characters were cardboard cutouts. But at the end of the day, you had a giant monkey fighting a giant lizard, and then you had a robot lizard that they teamed up to fight at the end. I enjoyed it. I thought it was tons of fun. I feel like, as far as my MonsterVerse picks, King of the Monsters is probably still my favorite. I just had a blast watching that movie. Really reminded me of a lot of the early Godzilla movies. And then Skull Island is a very close second because, I think it just comes to personal taste. I like Godzilla more than Kong, but Skull Island, you know, you cared about the human characters. The setting of Skull Island is a really good setting, and yet Kong, they're kind of, you know, doing what he does best. Plus, it was a different story of the character of Kong after seeing, you know, the same variations of the King Kong story over and over again. But I'd say this would probably rank after Skull Island for me. But yeah, overall, it was a ton of fun. And, you know, if you have HBO Max, I'd say check it out.
You did make me think of this, too. I would say that I'm a bigger Godzilla fan also. But with this MonsterVerse, they just kind of nailed Kong for me, and he kind of was my favorite.
That seems to be, a lot of people seem to be invested in Kong. And I also think Kong is embedded in the American consciousness more than Godzilla. You know, Kong's has a storied cinematic history. He's definitely part of the American cinematic DNA. So I feel like also that's why so many people have connected with the character of Kong.
I did a census at work to ask who they thought would win, and I don't think one person said Godzilla.
Idiots.
I had Well, the one had the same opinion as me that they just liked Kong better in these movies. And I think somebody was like, well, I don't think. I know somebody said. They said, Godzilla seems really like he's evil or something. So I don't want him to win. I was like, okay. I mean, you're stereotyping lizards. They just don't have that much facial expression. Yeah, I mean, what do you want to do? He's kind of creepy, but remember that time that he kind of saved San Francisco? Remember that?
Yeah.
I want to know more what's going on in this world, though. Like, King of Monsters, they had that big fight where they destroyed Boston. Clearly, Washington, D.C. was destroyed. And then this movie takes place in, like, the Gulf of Mexico. And that's, like, the only place I think we really see in America. It looked fine for a moment before Godzilla destroyed it.
Yeah.
I just wish we have as cool of a podcast as that monster podcast that
sadly we don't
have in this. Kids come knocking on our door. Yeah. They're like, we need to know. We're like, I don't know what you're talking about. Get out of here.
Kids are stealing cars to come talk to us.
Yeah. Here, the one kid has an accent. You're like, are you from New Zealand? I like that kid, and I think he was underutilized. I had just watched Hunt for the Wilder People, and that was a really good movie.
He's great in that. He's great in Deadpool, too. I love all his lines in that film.
He reminds me of you, Chuck.
I know, you've told me that before.
It's like his attitude in both those movies. Surprisingly, not this one. He's always like, I want to be a gangster. Like, he's like, I want to be a gangster personality. And he's just like this little kid. That's how I kind of envision you, I guess. I don't know.
They don't use him to full potential in this one. He's like the nerdy friend or something like that doesn't do anything.
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe he got cut too. Maybe he had all these great lines and they got cut. They Matthew Foxed the guy.
Could have happened.
Now all he's got is Deadpool 3, maybe. Knowing Disney, he won't be in it.
Disney doesn't do plus-sized superheroes.
Oh, no.
They might not.
Oh.
We'll see. We'll see if they let it happen.
I mean, so far I haven't seen any, I don't think. The Blob. That was Fox,
though.
We'll have to see if Disney brings him back. Yeah, let's see what the hell Disney's up to. We're going to be paying close attention to them. That's our podcast. Yeah. We have one more Kaiju episode coming up. We told people what it was on Paul Gasari, but James, would you like to tell people?
We will be discussing the 90s Gamera trilogy. Very commonly considered to be some of the best Kaiju movies ever made, and I'm currently rewatching them all, and I don't dispute that, but we'll talk more about that on our Gamera episode.
And that'll be Friday. That's only a couple days away from this episode. See how excited I was in that moment?
You were. I'm very excited, too. I'm very excited to talk about them. I have one more film to watch.
That's our podcast. We are Cinema Demore. We're on Twitter at Cinema Demore, / Cinema Demore on Facebook. That's where you see all our sick art that we our blood and sweat and tears go into making. Unfortunately, when you see it, you'll be like, really? On Twitter, I'm at JJMorgan19.
I'm at James Reinhardt.
ChuckFinn66.
Follow Chuck. You won't regret it.
Yep.
All right, guys. Well, thank you for listening.
Thank you. Thank you, everybody.
Thanks.
Cinema Demore. Follow us on Facebook and Twitter to stay up to date with news and information on upcoming episodes. Find us on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Podbean, Spotify, Amazon Music, Audible, Pandora, Alexa, or iHeartRadio. It would be greatly appreciated if you subscribe to our podcast on your platform of choice. We also appreciate feedback, so rate us, review us, and let us know what you think. And above all else, thank you for listening.